Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Samach Gimel. We are holding on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph at the Mishnah on the top of the page. Today's share is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Allah Shalom, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. So what we're going to talk about today is first the Mishnah is going to discuss the difference between a Minchas Machavas versus a Minchas Marcheshes. We're going to have two different opinions as to the difference, and the Gemara is going to explain what each opinion is based on. Then the Gemara is going to discuss when someone commits to give a machavas or a marcheshes, what does he mean? Does he mean the kli or does he mean the karban? So discussion beshamay and besilal. Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to talk about how it must be baked if you commit to give a mincha betanur or a minchas ma'afa, and the Gemara explains each opinion. Then the Gemara is going to explain three different opinions about whether half the loaves can be challah and half rakikin when you commit to a minchas mafa, or does it need to be all challos or all rakikin, because there are 10 loaves in total. And that brings us to the end of the perek, and then Be'ez Hashem we're going to begin the next perek, which is going to be all about the Karban Omer. So the Mishnah is going to talk about the differences between a Karban Omer when the second day of Pesach is Shabbos versus when the second day of Pesach is a Yom Chol. And at least the difference between the Ktziras HaOmer in those two cases, and we're going to explain the Machlokes Tanayim, whether they used less grain when they brought the Karban Omer on Shabbos. That's going to be Machlokes Tanayim in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to explain that Machlokes Tanayim, and the Gemara then is going to try to associate one of the Tanayim in our Mishnah with a different Tana somewhere else in Shas related to Karban Pesach, other things about minimizing Malacha on Shabbos when we can. So let's begin again. We're holding at the Mishnah on the top of Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah discusses the difference between Machvas and Marcheshes. Ha'omer, harei alai b'machvas. If a person says, I am hereby committing to bring a mincha that is made in a Machvas, lo yavi b'marcheshes, he cannot bring a mincha that is made in a Marcheshes, because that is not a fulfillment of his neder. Why would the Mishnah have to tell me that? Isn't it obvious that they're two totally different things? Because we're going to find by Minchas Mafatanur that you could bring it chalos or rakikin. So one might say that with all menachos, you have some sort of leeway to adjust ever so slightly. So maybe machvas and marchesa should be no different either. So the Mishnah tells me, no. If you said you're going to bring machvas, you cannot bring marcheshes. B'marcheshes, lo yavi b'machvas. And if you say you're going to bring marcheshes, you cannot bring in a machvas. Ma bein machvas and marcheshes. What is the difference between a machvas and a marcheshes? So two opinions. Marcheshes, yesh la kisui. Machvas, ein la kisui. De Rabbi Yosei Glili. Rabbi Yosei Glili says, one is a pot with a cover, the other is a pot without a cover. Rabbi Chanin B'Gamliel omer, marcheshes amuka, that marcheshes is a deep pan, u'ma'aseh arochshin, and since it's deep, the oil gathers in one spot, and when you put your finger down on it, the oil sizzles a little bit, and it moves around inside this loaf. Whereas machvas tzafa, u'ma'aseh koshin, the machvas is a flat pan, and therefore it's made to be pretty hard, because the dough spreads on the whole surface of the pan, and so it's a very thin and hard type of cracker type of thing. That's how Rashi understands. The Rambam Maaser Karbanos Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Zayin says that since a machvas doesn't have an edge to it, they would make the dough that they would bake a very hard type of dough, so that it wouldn't just spill out. Meaning, if it was too much of a blila raka, you'd pour it on a flat griddle, it would just spill over the edges of it. So they made it in a way that it had to be harder so that it wouldn't spill over the edges of the kli. But that's the fundamental difference between machvas and marcheshes. Either it's the difference whether it has a cover or not, or it's the difference in terms of the depth of the pan. So my time is Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi say that the difference is whether it has a cover or not? Maybe you're going to tell me, because he understands that the word marcheshes is an indicator that it's about something that relates to that which is in the heart, that which is covered up, that which is about hirhurei avera, that nobody else can see other than the person, only the person that's having those thoughts knows about them, because that's what marcheshes indicates. Kiddushiv, after all, the pasuk says in Tehillim, rachash libi davar tov, that my heart is inspired to sing shevach ta'kodesh baruch hu. So you see that rachash relates to something that's in the lave, something that's in the heart, and therefore the mincha that you bring in order to be mechaper for hirhure alev, for negative thoughts, would be something that's covered because the thoughts themselves are covered. And machvas tasya machbuya peh, and maybe machvas is meant to be uncovered because it comes to be mechaper for that which you speak, that which comes out of your mouth. Rechilus, which is something that everyone knows about, that everybody hears because you say it, it comes out into the world. So, and it exposes your mouth. When a person speaks, their teeth are exposed. Kedamri inchi minabach nabuche. Like people say that that when one opens his mouth and speaks, that it's, or lets out, emits a sound, that it's minabach nabuche. So says Gemara, if that's the basis of Rabbi Yossi, that marcheshes must be a covered pot because it relates to things that are covered up in our heart, and machvas must be an uncovered pot because it relates to that which is exposed, like when we speak. Well, Eime Ibchai can make just as compelling an argument in the opposite direction, that machvas dasya machbuya lev. One could have argued that machvas comes about for machbuya lev, that which is in our hearts, tichsiv, because the Torah says when Yaakov Avinu runs away from Lavan after he worked for him for 20 years and he leaves with his wives and the sheep, so Lavan runs after him and he says, Lama nichbeisa livroach. So you see, it's something that's hidden, that you secretly ran away, whisked away my daughters in the middle of the night and my grandchildren, and you ran away. Marcheshes, and one could equally argue that marcheshes is something that does not have a cover, da'asya aruchushe, because it speaks about that which, it relates to that which is, that which comes out of a person's mouth. Kedamri inchi, have a merachshon sivsose, that people say that a person whose lips are moving, that it's merachshon sivsose. So you see that relates to the movement of the mouth. So you can make an equally compelling argument in either direction, even if you're going to tell me that one of these has a cover and the other one doesn't. So how did Rabbi Yossi know which is which? So says, how did Rabbi Yossi clearly know which is which? So says Gemara Ella, Gemara Gemirila. They had a Kabbalah that this is the way it was. Rabbi Yossi must have had a tradition from his Rebbeim that it was in this direction, and there that a Marcheshes is Yesh Lakisui, a Machvas is Ein Lakisui, and that's why he said it in this way. In the Ma'oros Hagra, he says that the Gemara Gemirila is just to say that it's not the opposite, but the fact that one of them has a cover and the other one doesn't have a cover is actually derived from the Psukim that we just discussed. It's just, it could have gone either way based on the Psukim. So the Gemara Gemirila is not to say in the opposite direction. Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel Omer, we then said Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel says that a Marcheshes is deep and a Machvas is a flat pen. So Marcheshes Hamukha Dichsiv V'chol Na'ase B'Marcheshes, that it says that the Mincha is put inside the Marcheshes, which implies some depth to the Kli. Machvas Safa Dichsiv V'Al Machvas, whereas a Machvas is a flat Kli because it says that it's Al Machvas, that the Mincha is on top of the Machvas, which certainly indicates a flatter type of Kli. So Tan Rabban Beishami Omrim Ha'omer Harei Alai Marcheshes. If a person says, I am hereby committing to a Marcheshes, but he didn't say Harei Alai Mincha Hanasis B'Marcheshes or a Minchas Marcheshes, he just said Harei Alai Marcheshes. Say Yimuna Chachiyav Eliyo. There's nothing you could do to be Mekayim that Neder. It's got to, you just wait until Eliyo Hanavi comes, because we have no way of being able to understand or being able to know with certainty what the person was actually committing to. Misafkalu B'Shamay wasn't sure when you say Harei Alai Marcheshes, or even when we call a Minchas Machvas or a Minchas Marcheshes, I Al Shum Kli Nikru'u, are they called that because of the Kli that they are made in? That a Minchas Machvas is called a Minchas Machvas because the Kli that it's made in is called a Machvas, and a Minchas Marcheshes is called a Minchas Marcheshes because the Kli that you make it in is called a Marcheshes. So if that were the case, then when you say Harei Alai Marcheshes, you're not committing to a Mincha, you're committing to a Kli, that Marcheshes just happens to be the name of a Kli. Oh, Al Shemaaseh. Or maybe the Menachos get their special names of a Minchas Machvas or a Minchas Marcheshes because of their physical attributes. That a Marcheshes is Rochshos and a Machvas is Maaseh Koshin, like we had said in the Mishnah. That a Marcheshes, where the oil gathers in one spot and you press down with your finger and the oil moves around. So that's Rochshos, and Machvas is that it's hardened because it's on a flatter thing. So that's what they actually actually are. So therefore, if you would say Arayla Marcheshes, you would have to bring the actual mincha that's called a Marcheshes. But Beishami says, I don't know. I don't know what the guy means. No one knows what the guy means. And therefore, Yemunach Atshiyava Eliyahu. So Tosfos asks the obvious question. What do you mean, Yemunach Atshiyava Eliyahu? Just do both, right? Meaning, give a machvas, or if you say Arayla Marcheshes, give a pan called a Marcheshes, and also bring a minchas Marcheshes. Why can't you do both? So Tosfos suggests that maybe the case is that we're talking where he identified particular money or particular flour, and he said Hare Zu Lemachvas, or Hare Zu Lemarcheshes. So that it's just that money that's going to have to be used for one or the other, and we don't know what to use that money for. And that's what it means. Munach Hashiyah. What's Munach? If we're just saying don't do anything, you call that Munach Hashiyah Elio? You just use it still Hashiyah Elio. But what's sitting? What do you rest? Munach Hashiyah Elio means that the money you put aside is Munach Hashiyah Elio. But Basil says Kli Hayah B'Mikdash Marcheshes Shema. There was a Kli in the Mikdash called a Marcheshes. So there is no doubt that that's what the guy is committing to when he says Harei Elai Marcheshes. He plans on giving that Kli. V'Domin Kamin Kalbos Amuk, and it is like a deep Kalbos, which is a C-shaped Kli that has holes on the bottom of it. Ukshabatzik Munach B'Tocho Domin Kamin Tapuche Habresim Kamin Balute Ayevanim. And when you put the dough inside of it, it looks like particular peiros that they knew about that had certain holes that were generated in the dough from the holes on the bottom of the kli. So another raya that Basila brings that the kelim themselves are called the machvas and marcheshes. V'omer, it says about these menachos, v'kol nase b'marcheshes v'al machvas. Alma, so you see that the difference is that the kli al shuma kelim nikru v'lo al shuma seyem, because it says that you put this in the marcheshes, you put that on the machvas. So it's talking about what do you do with the flour, what do you do with the dough? You put it in the marcheshes, on the machvas. Obviously, that's referring to kelim and not the actual mincha, because otherwise the Torah should have said al in both places, al marcheshes, al machvas, or bi in both places. So from the fact that the Torah distinguishes between bi and al, that tells me that we're talking about the kelim. And one of the kelim is deep, so it goes inside. The other kli is flat, and therefore it goes on top of. Okay, so now a new Mishnah. So the Mishnah discusses how they would bake a minchas mafa in order to be yotzei the chiyuv when a person commits to bring a minchas mafa. Hare alai bitanur. Let's say a person says, I am accepting upon myself a mincha that's baked in an oven, in a tanur. Lo yavi mafa kupach. You're not allowed to bring a carbon mincha that is baked in a kupach. A kupach is a type of oven that is a little less hot and is shaped somewhat differently. It only has space for one pot. A tanner also only has space for one top, for one pot, but the Sugya in Shabbos makes it clear that a tanner is like a cylinder that comes to like a point at the top, and that's where you put that's where you would put the pot. You could also, they would wrap dough around the sides of it as well, and the but a kupach is a box, so it's so since it doesn't, the heat doesn't condense into one narrow area, so because it's more of a square shape, so it's it has a little less heat. The Rambam Pirush HaMishnah says another difference is that a kupach they put the dough in for baking only after they remove the fire from it, whereas a tanur, while the fire is going, the dough is in there and it is baking. So Arayla B'tanur is not allowed to bring a mafa kupach v'lo mafa ra'afim. He also cannot bring something that is baked on tiles. What they would do is they would heat up tiles to very, very hot, and then they would put dough on the tiles and bake it that way. And also mafa yoros v'arvim. He also cannot bake it in the Arabian pots. So these types, the Tiferes Yisrael and the Mishnayos points out, there's a fundamental problem over here. They didn't have any of these things in the Azara. So what's the Chiddush over here? Meaning, if the question is, what's the Nidon, whether you're allowed to bake Menachos in these types of ways, any Mincha that you bring is Lishasan Varichasan Bifnim, it's all supposed to be done in the Azara. So what you don't have these Arabian pots or whatever. You don't have these things in the Azara. So it's very well right. So you have to say that after the Lisha and the Arich, Micha, they brought it outside and they baked it in these things. And that's what we're talking about, that you can't do that. Or the din, that you need to do the Lisha and the Aricha Bifnim, if someone can mute themselves. Ira B, I'm not sure who that is, but if you could just mute yourself. I don't know if he hears me. Ira B, can you please mute yourself? Mute your... Getting some feedback? Anyone know who Ira B is? Okay, so he's not muted, but okay. So the we'll see what happens. So that you're not supposed to. It's only a din l'chadchila. Over here, we're talking about that you violated the din l'chadchila and you baked it that way. I mean, it could be that the whole din of requiring the lisha v'aricha bifnim is only a din l'chadchila. And over here, we're talking about that you didn't fulfill that din l'chadchila. Okay, so that is that is if a person says harei le'betan, or you're not allowed to bring a bread that's baked in these other ways. Rabbi Yehuda Omer rotza maybe mafa kupach, that you may bring a mafa kupach. You may bring, if you say, so that's good enough. It's close enough to a tanur when you bring bekupach. Harele milchas mafe. If a person says, "I'm going to bring milchas mafe," so which is supposed to be an isarun of flour that produces 10 loaves of bread, lo yavi mechza chalos mechza rikikin. You cannot bring half chalos and half rikikin. Rabbi Shimon matim neshu karben echad. Rabbi Shimon says, "Yeah, you can. It's all the same thing. Since the Torah gives you the leeway to bring chalos or Rikikin, so you're allowed to bring half chalos and half rikikin." The Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Kufta Zayin says, aside from the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether you're allowed to bring mechza chalos, mechza rikikin, there's another thing that comes out lahalacha from this machlokes. If a person takes a neder to bring chalos, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can only bring chalos dafka, whereas Rabbi Shimon would say that since it's a carbon echad, you could bring rikikin as well, even though all you committed to do is to bring chalos, and what you committed to is not to bring. You didn't mention the word rikikin, you would still be allowed to bring rikikin as well. So the chiluk between chalos and rikikin, the Minchas Chinuch writes, is that they're both made the same way, but the chalos are nivlalos with shemen, and the rikikim are not nivlal with shemen. They're not mixed in with the oil, they're nimshach with shemen. They would be smeared with oil as opposed to fully mixed in with oil. There is an Ibn Ezra, though, that brings two other explanations of the chiluk between chalos and rikikim. The Ibn Ezra on Parshas Vayikra says, first of all, that chalos are thick and rikikim are thin, and second of all, that chalos are round. Lashon chalos, lashon chalila, so it is round, it's chozer chalila, whereas rikikim are not round. So this leads to a big discussion about what is the proper shape for your chalos on Shabbos, and what is the proper shape for your matzahs on Pesach. In the Sefer Yafal Lelev, he discusses the shape of a challah on Shabbos, and he quotes the Kitzur Hashloah HaKadosh in the name of the Mekubalim, that they should be shaped long and narrow, like the letter Vav. And when you cut both of them, each of them have with five, you hold them both with five fingers, and the Prus Samotzi is like the Os Yud, and therefore you have the Shema Vaya, because you have both hands with the five fingers, and you have the Vav of the challahs, and the little piece you cut off at the end is the Yud. So Al Pi Kabbalah, you get the entire Shema Avaya in the way that you cut your chalas. In the Kaf HaChaim, he writes that he remembers when he was young, he heard from one of the great gedolim that the breads for Shalosh Udas, for the three meals of Shabbos, should be as follows. On Friday night, it should be pitas. On Shabbos day, it should be wider doughs, thicker breads. And Shalosh Udas, it should be these long, narrow breads. And all of these things are based on Al-Pi Kabbalah. But the idea that the two Vavs may also relate to, that there's a Zohar that says that you're supposed to have 12 loaves, 12 challahs on Shabbos. So how does one fulfill 12 challahs on Shabbos? So we don't, you're supposed to have Lechem Mishni, you're not supposed to have 12 challahs. So the Gras says, no, you have three meals, each meal you have two challahs, and you cut both challahs at each meal. You're not supposed to just cut one, you cut both of them, the Gras says. So therefore, you have 12 halves, because it's six total challahs, and you cut each of them in half, so say you have 12 vavs, that's how you have 12. Others say, no, you have the two vavs. Each challah is shaped like a vav, so you have the two vavs. But if the word challah means chalila, then maybe it should be round. In the Otzer Yad HaChaim, quoted here in the Masifta, he says, that which we make round matzah specifically is because the pasuk says, chalos matzos. And the Ebenezer says that challah means round. So challos matzos, that's where the minute comes from, that they make round matzos. Till they started making machine matzos, and with machine matzos, it's very hard. You can't have round because they got to cut off the edges. The machine didn't fit that way. So better than having chametz, we have square matzos that come from the machines. Okay, so. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan. We have a brayse that says as follows: Mafetanur. That the pasuk says Mafetanur. So we learn v'lo mafekupach, v'lo maferafim, v'lo mafiyoros haravim. Like we said in the Mishnah, the Tanakama, that you're not allowed to bring when you say you're going to bring Mafetanur, you're not supposed to bring things that are baked in these other ways. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tanur shnei pamim lahachshir mafekupach. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah who said that even though you said you're going to bring Mafetanur, mafekupach also works, that's because it says the word tanur twice, so that's a ribui. So it must be a second type of tanur is also good. What's the closest thing to a tanur that's not exactly a tanur? A kupach! So that's how I know, because it says tanur twice. It says it once in Parshas Vayikra, v'chisakrav karba mincha mafa tanur, and a second time in Parshas Tzav, v'kol mincha shateyafe bitanur. Rabbi Shimon Omer, tanur shnei pa'amim. It says tanur twice, because ech shteyafi yosem bitanur. One to tell me, it says tanur to tell me to bake the menachos dafka in the tanur and not other types of baking. The echad shehekdeshin betanur. The second time it says tanur, says Rabbi Shimon, is not to tell me that you're allowed to bake it in a kupach. You're not allowed to bake it in a kupach. It's coming to tell me that you're makdishit in a tanur. The kedusha of the mincha is at the time that you bake it in the tanur. That is the kli that's makdishit. Umiyu says Rabbi Shimon is svara, but does Rabbi Shimon really hold that the tanur is mekadesh the menachos va'tanan? But don't we have a mishnah later in the Masechta, that Rabbi Shimon Omer Le'olam Avi Ragel Omer, Shtei Alechem Lech Banim Ksheres Be'Azor, Ksheres Be'Beis Pagi, that the baking of the Karban Mincha could happen in the Azara or could happen in Beis Pagi, which is outside of the Azara. So you see that apparently, according to Rabbi Shimon, the Tanur is not Mekadish the Menachos, because if it were Mekadish the Menachos would be puzzled Midin Yotzei, because they're outside after they're baked in the Tanur. Like anything that's in the Skadish B'Kadush Sagguf has a Psul Yotzei, if it's brought outside after it's baked in the Tanur. So that's how Rashi at least explains the problem that Rabbi Shimon that the Gemara is expressing in Rabbi Shimon. That how could Rabbi Shimon say that the second time it says Tanur is to tell me that the Kedusha of the Karban happens in the Tanur? After all, doesn't Rabbi Shimon say that it could be baked Bebeis Pagi, which is outside of the Azara? Now that is totally in another Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Rashi and Daf Pezayin and Beis has a Machlokas with Tosos, which appears early in the Masechta Daf Tesam and Aleph. If once something is huktash bekli, it's nifsal when it leaves the Azara, or it's only nifsal al yedei lina, meaning what happens when it's huktash bekli? So when it's huktash bekli, it has some level of kedusha to make it more sensitive to becoming psul. But what kind of psul? Rashi says that it now can become psul biyotzei. So I understand why Rashi over here is going to say that, that's the problem with Rabbi Shimon. That how could you bake it bebeis pagi? It's pasul biyotze. But according to Tosfos, that it does not become pasul biyotze just because it was hukdash in a kli. It would only become pasul belina on account of being hukdash in bekli. It would not become pasul biyotze on account of being hukdash bekli. So Tosfos says the raya of the Gemara has to be over here that it's just a davar mechur to take a mincha that's already been niskadesh and bring it outside. So from the fact that they bring it outside, it must be that they wouldn't do such a davar mechur like that. So it must be that it was that it's not huktash betanur. So anyway, so the Gemara is miyashiv the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Amarava ema shei hakdeshon lushum tanur. That maybe the Rabbi Shimon understands the second time it says tanur is telling us that when you're makdish this flour for a karban mincha, you should be makdish it al menas that it be baked in a tanur. So that already at the shas hakdasha of the soles, you're already supposed to earmark it for a tanur. So that's the machlokas why it says tanur twice. Rabbi Yehuda says it says tanur twice to tell me that you can even bake it in a kupach, and Rabbi Shimon says no, you're only allowed to bake it in a tanur. The second tanur was teaching me something else. Harele minchas mafa lo yavimech. So we then said another machlokas that if you say that you're going to bring a minchas mafa, that the Tanakhama says you're not allowed to bring half chalos, half rakikin, and Rabbi Shimon says yes, you can. So tanur rabbanan, the brisa darshan as follows that v'chi sakriv kishatakriv lasos dvar rishus carbon mincha, that when you want to bring a dvar rishus, when you want to do something on your own, you should bring this carbon mincha, meaning this is the classic minchas nidava that one would bring. Rabbi Yehuda minay lomar elai minchas mafa shelo yavi mechza chalos mechza rikikin. Rabbi Yehuda says, how do I know that you're not supposed to do half the loaves chalos and half the loaves rikikin? Tamalomar, because the pasuk says carbon mincha. So we darshan from there, from the fact that it says carbon b'loshon yachid, carbon echol amarti lucha v'lo shnayim u'shlosha karbanos. It's got to be one type of bread. It's not supposed to be two or three. The or three is a little bit difficult to understand. There's no third option. There's chalas, there's rakikin, so it's unclear what it means by the or three, but it should be only one type. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says back to Yehuda, it says back to Rabbi Yehuda, v'chi nemar, carbon shnei pa'amim. Does the Torah say by minchas mafa carbon twice, one to tell me that chalos, and the other to tell me rakikin, which would imply that they're two separate carbonos, meaning let's go for the point, it only says carbon once, chalos rakikin, and yet the Torah identifies both chalos and rakikin, so it must be me'ata ratzalavi chalos maybe rakikin maybe mechza chalos mechza rakikin maybe, that if you want to bring all chalos, good. You want to bring all rakikin, also good. You want to bring half, also good. Because we're saying that it's only one carbon, and that it's made of chalos and rakikin. And if you bring them both, ubolulun, so then you crush them back up into a flour, and you mix them all together, v'komitz mishneim, and you take the kemitza from the combination of the two of them, v'komitz ol biyadu, me'achal al shneim, yotza, and if all that came out in the kemitza is one type or the other, you're still going to be yotze, because you had mixed them all together, and they're all the same. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yudah, omer a third shita. Minayin lomer harei he says, how do I know that you're not supposed to do half chalos, half rikikin? Tamalomer, because the pasuk says, the kol mincha asher teyafe b'tanur v'chol nasa b'mracheshes v'al machvas l'kovein ha-makrovosa lo siya v'chol mincha b'lul v'shemen v'chareve l'kol b'nei aro netiya. So we learn from there, ma v'kol ha'amr l'mata, just like the word v'kol that it says at the end of the pasuk, by the minchas marcheshes and the machvas, and by the mincha b'lul v'shemen and the mincha chareva, does not come to tell me that they're all the same, that you can bring half of this and half of that. So shnei min chalukin, that they're not the same, the one single carbon. They're two different types of carbon of carbonos. Af v'kol amr l'mayla, so too when it says v'kol at the beginning of the pasuk by mafatanur, which could be brought from chalos or rikikin, shnei min chalukin. The chalos and the rikikin are two types of carbonos, so you cannot do half this, half that. Rabbi Yehuda, Shapir Karm Rabbi Shimon. How's Rabbi Yehuda going to respond to Rabbi Shimon? Meaning Rabbi Shimon had a good tainer from the fact that it only says the word carbon once by the Minchas Mafa. Doesn't that tell you that the Chalos and the Rakikin are really one and the same, that they're all the same carbon, and that you therefore can bring half of one and half of the other? So Amalach, Rabbi Yehuda would respond that it's an incorrect Rasha. Kivin Dechsiv, Bashemen, Bashemen, since it says the word Bashemen twice, Kiman Dechsiv, carbon, carbon, dami. It's as if it says the word carbon twice by the chalas and the rakikin, and therefore we view them as two separate carbonos, and you have the option of bringing either chalas or rakikin, but not both of them. V'Rabbi Shimon, why isn't Rabbi Shimon molded to the fact that it says bashemen twice, that's as if it says carbon twice, and therefore it's distinguishing between these two minim of chalas and rakikin as two separate carbonos? So says Gemara, now the fact that it says bashemen twice is because the iloksiv Bashemen, Bashemen, had it not said Bashemen twice, Hava mina dafka mechza chalos and mechza rakikin, I would have assumed that if a person says he's going to bring a minchas mafa, he must bring some chalos and some rakikin, and that's the only way he could ever be yotze in the mitzvah. Aval chalos luchudai, rakikin luchudai, emelo. Had it not said Bashemen twice, I would have thought that if you bring entirely chalos or entirely rakikin, that you're not yotze in the mitzvah if you bring 10 chalos or 10 rakikin. So kamash milan. That's why it says Bashemen twice to distinguish, to tell me that that's not the case, that you're allowed to bring And there are three ways to fulfill this neder of bringing this type of mincha. Either you could bring 10 chalos, or you could bring 10 rekikin, or you could bring some combination of chalos or rekikin. But the double expression of b'shemen is not coming to tell me that they're mamish two different karbanos, the way Rabbi Yehuda wanted to say, and that they cannot be brought from shtei minim, that you're not allowed to bring them from two different minim. Okay, so it says Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, hainu avua. Well, wait a second. We had two different tanoim who both seem to say the same thing, that you're not allowed to bring mechza chalos and mechza rekikin. We had Rabbi Yehuda, and we had Rabbi Yossi bir Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the difference between the two of them? And it cannot be that Rabbi Yossi was just repeating his father's opinion and he didn't add anything or subtract anything, because then he should have just said it in the name of his father, and he shouldn't have argued on Rabbi Shimon in his own name, and he shouldn't have come up with his own drasha either. He made his own drasha. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda came up with a new pasuk, new drasha, you know, just like it says at the end of the pasuk, so too at the beginning of the pasuk. Why does he have to say any of that if he's saying the same thing as his father? So no, it must be Ika Binayu D.E. of that. The machlokas between them is if you already did it and you already brought this mincha from two different minim, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who learns his shita from the fact that it says karban once, so you're yotze yuchiv. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, who learns it from the dimyon to minchas belula of the chareva, you're not yotze, and you still have the chiyuv to go ahead and to bring the karban. Karen Or raises the question, why is it according to Rabbi Yehuda that it's kosher b'dieved? You didn't do what you're supposed to do. You didn't bring the right thing. And even though in Achinami there is this concept of shanel of la'akev by kachim, but that's not about like when you bring the wrong ingredients, right? If you say that you're going to bring a korban pesach and you bring a bull for a korban pesach, you're not yotze. That's a korban pesach cannot be brought. You know, if you just bring the wrong stuff, then for sure you're not yotze. So Karen Ora wonders, why would Rabbi Yehuda say? So he says, no, dieved means different. It means that when a person says, harei alai mincha mechza chalos mechza rekikin, meaning had you just said mincha smafa, you're not allowed to bring mechza chalos mechza rekikin. You've got to do one or the other, because it's karban echad, it's not shnayim. But dieved means that if you specifically said you're going to bring mechza chalos mechza rekikin, that's where Rabbi Yehuda says you could do that. And Rabbi Yossi bir Rabbi Yehuda says, nothing doing. There's no such thing as mechza chalos mechza rekikin. That even if you said you're going to do it, you're not allowed to do it. Okay, so adron lachala menachos. So now we move on to the next parak, to the sixth parak of Maseches Menachos, and this parak deals with the Karban Omer. So again, we're still within Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, the ideal time to talk about the Karban Omer, which is brought on the second day of Pesach. So the Karban Omer is brought from Saorim. They would bring from barley and not from wheat, like most Karbanos Mincha. The Gemara is going to have Machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva, how I know from Psukim that the Omer is Bamin HaSa'orim and not Min HaChitim. The Rambam in Chesmidim Musaf in Parag Zayin says that it's a Kabbalah Mimoshe Misinai. So the Mari Kurkus and the Rambam says, yeah, he understood that the whole discussion about Psukim was all in Asmachta, but really it's all Alach Moshe Misinai. It's Bamin HaSa'orim. They would do the harvesting of the Omer on the second night of the Pesach, when we in Chutz La'aretz are having our second Seder, right? That's when they would do the harvesting of the Omer. And the Mishnah is going to discuss specifically the mitzvah of Ktziras HaOmer and how it's different, perhaps, if it were done on Shabbos versus it, meaning if that second day of Pesach was Shabbos versus if it were a weekday. You might be thinking, well, when was the last time we had a second day of Pesach on Shabbos? So never. You never had a second day of Pesach because Lo Badu Pesach, that Pesach, the first day of Pesach, can never fall out on a Monday, on a Wednesday, or on a Friday. This year, the first Seder night is Wednesday night, which means that the first day of Pesach is Thursday. But it never has Lo Badu Pesach, so it's never going to happen. But Rashi writes, Bizman Shabbos Mekashayikayim, when they were Mekadi Shalpia Ri'iya, they didn't have a rule of Lo Badu Pesach. So that's our whole Mishnah, the fact that the Mishnah assumes that it could happen is a riot to Rashi in Psachim Daf Nun Ches, who says that when they were Mekadesh Al Pi Ari'iya, they didn't have this rule of Lo Badu Pesach. That's Rashi's Shita. However, Tosfos in Psachim over there says that even Bizman Abayis, they were Mekadesh Al Pi Ari'iya, but they were still Makbid on Lo Badu Pesach. So the Chassam Sofer says, well, wait a second, then what's our Mishnah about? Our Mishnah talks about if the second day of Pesach falls on Shabbos, how would they do the Ksiris Omer differently? According to Tosfos, they never let the second day of Pesach fall on Shabbos. It's a very, very strong kasha. What you have to say is that that even according to Tosos, there was some time prior that they didn't have the rule of Lo Badu Pesach. That Lo Badu Pesach may have been an earlier takana than Rashi thought it was, but it doesn't go all the way back to Matan Torah. So there was some time where there was a possibility of the second day of Pesach falling out on Shabbos. Same way, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Omer, an important point to understand the Mishnah. The Korban Omer was made with an Asiris Ha'efa. So, it's a pasuk by the Mon, that Omer Asiris Ha'efa Hu. So, the Isaron, to have a really good, high quality flour, they would sift it, and we're going to have a Machlokas Tanaim, how many Si'in of grain they had to start with to whittle it down to an Asiris Ha'efa of the most pristine, pure flour that they could get. So Rabbi Shmuel says, Omer hayu ba b'Shabbos mishlosh se'in. That when the second day of Pesach was on Shabbos, they would only have three se'in of sa'orim that they would harvest in order to pull out an Asiris Ha'efa. But b'chol mi'chamesh. But on a weekday, they would harvest five se'in of sa'orim. V'cham omrim echad Shabbos ve'echad chol mi'shalosh hayeba. That both on Shabbos and a weekday came from three se'in and not from five se'in. Rabbi Chinas Ganukhanim omer, b'Shabbos haya niktsar b'yachid u'b'magal echad. That on Shabbos, they wanted to do as little harvesting as possible. They wanted to be m'mayit b'malach as much as possible. So there was only one guy doing the harvesting, and you only use one kli to cut the grain. Ubekupa achas, and he would pile it all into one box. Ubechol, and on a weekday it was bishlosha. There were three people that were doing it. Bishalosh kupos, and they would put it into three boxes. Ubishalosh magalos, and they would use three different kelim. The Rishonim and Achronim explain why it is that we change the order of the. Meaning we're talking about three factors: how many people, how many magalos, and how many boxes. So but when we spoke about what they did on Shabbos, we said first the number of people, then the number of magalos, then the number of boxes. When we spoke about Chol, we said first the number of people, then the number of boxes, then the number of kelim. So they work on why that should be the case. Both on Shabbos and a weekday, it was three people, three boxes, three harvesting utensils. So the Mishnah had said that Rabbi Shmuel said that on Shabbos they would only harvest three se'im, but on weekdays it was five se'in. And the Chum said, no, both on Shabbos and weekdays it was three se'in. So Bishlam Rabbanan, I understand the Rabbanan would say that both on Shabbos and on a weekday you had three se'im of sa'orim, kasavri isaron mulchar b'shlosh se'in asi. They hold that's the best way to get an isaron of flour, that the best way to get an isaron of fine flour is to start with three se'in of sa'orim, losha b'chol losha b'shabbos, and therefore why distinguish between Shabbos and a weekday? El Rabbi Shmuel might kasavr, but what exactly does Rabbi Shmuel hold? If he holds that to get a really good Isaron, you need five se'in of Sa'orim, so you should do that on Shabbos also. The carbon needs to be a carbon that's as high quality as possible. And if you can get really high quality stuff from three se'in, then you should do it during the weekday as well. Why do you have to bother the guy to bring Chamesh se'in? So Amarava, Kasav Rabbi Shmuel, Isaron Muvchar, below Tircha, Asi Michamesh. That the easiest way to get really high quality flour without excessive tircha is to start with Chamesh Se'im. So then it's easy to pull out an Isaron of fine flour. And you don't need to do so much sifting. But Betircha, when if you're willing to put in extra work, then Asi Mishalosh, you can get the same quality flour from three Se'in, but it will take more work. So Bechol Maisin Michamesh, Dachi Shvicha Milsa. On a weekday, we bring with five se'in because it's the easiest and best way to do it. That the Yisorin Omer is going to be the highest quality stuff with the least amount of work, so that's great. But b'Shabbos, mutav shi'arba b'malacha achas, b'harkada, val yarba b'malacha sardei. But on Shabbos, we have to figure out, either I'm going to work harder in the sifting, and so I'm going to be doing more sifting, which is not great. You're not supposed to, ideally on Shabbos, we shouldn't be sifting so much. Or the other possibility is, I'm going to have to do extra Ktsira and Zora and Borer and Tochein and Merakid, meaning you have to go through all the Sidurat. You're going to end up doing a whole bunch of other malachos on a higher quantity of items. So we'd rather do one malacha extra rather than doing five malachos with extra. Okay, but from tomorrow, we'll pick up at Amar Rabbah. Everyone have a wonderful day.